like to answer the question, but as someone who is not opposed to development outright, I just think a development should be in appropriate locations. I wonder why Glen Ira doesn't do any precinct structure planning as or any other modelling to give the community an idea of what your future plans are, because from where I come from, it seems to be a shambles. There is no actual plan and no actual rollout for development. I think we need to acknowledge that Melbourne can't continue to expand at the rate that it's been expanding. But Glen Ira, yes, has a responsibility to absorb the increased population. But what is the actual plan for Glen Ira? We've got tablecloths of glue across certain areas of Glen Ira, which doesn't have the adequate infrastructure or existing services, let alone the capacity for improved infrastructure and services. So what is Glen Ira's plan? Why don't we have precinct infrastructure planning? It happens in growth areas of Melbourne. It happens in other municipalities in Melbourne. And to me, it seems like our director of planning is probably a little bit lazy on that front and doesn't want to disclose where the growth is going to be and what it's going to look like. And what about 3D modelling that happens elsewhere in the world? So what's Glen Ira going to do to help properly inform the community as well as provide us with guidance as to what you would like our municipality to look like after you engage the community?
Okay, so what we have, start of those eight figures were completely wrong. 80% of Glen Ira's neighbourhood residential zone, not 93%. That's the age.
So who are you having a go at
there, Jeremy? The age. Okay. I'm just setting the record straight. So what we've got 80% of Glen Ira, neighbourhood residential zones, height limit of 8 metres, only 2 dwellings on a block. Then we've got our general residential zones.
Question there, how did you locate that? How did you identify them? Because a lot of those areas don't have adequate infrastructure now, don't have the potential for increasing the capacity of that infrastructure, let alone the services that are being delivered there.
And these go back 10 years or more.
Yes, so it's 96 census data that it's based on, yep.
Well,
2002 was when the housing policy came out, therefore the 2001 census data would have been released by that age.
Okay, so that was based on proximity to houses, proximity to shops and public transport to minimise the amount of car trips that will be needed. So that's basically how the general residential zones were chosen. Then we have our residential growth zones, which correspond to the urban villages. If you look at our urban village plans, they set out various precincts and describe what sort of development should happen in each of those precincts.
Based on 1996 census data, so we've had flooding in that time, we've had limited improvement in public transport, so we've got fixed rail, which is a radial network. Okay, our bus services, at best, I think they run every 20 minutes. In my area of McKinnon, a child can't even get to work at Chadston to do the early shifts on a Saturday and a Sunday, get home on a Thursday or a Friday night. Because of the bus capacity is not there. Yeah, no buses trying to travel for that. So there's a lot of car trips generated by people getting to get places that are not on the tracks and rail. Okay, so my understanding and the correspondence I've had with council is that council's only considered train stations. Okay, in locating the general residential zones.
I've also considered tram lines and buses.
Oh, really? Well, we don't have that south of Gold Road, so we're not that fortunate. We've got a massive blue. Look at East Bentley. How can you justify East Bentley as being a growth zone?
That's right.
Yeah. True. Yeah. There's no
fixed rail. There you go.
The bulk of, sorry, the suburban streets in East Bentley are in the neighbourhood residential zone, right? Not all. Almost all of East Bentley is in the neighbourhood residential zone. It's only the areas immediately around the East Bentley Shopping Centre, the East Bentley Shopping Street, that are in the general residential zone, and there is no residential growth zone in East Bentley.
We've downloaded from the website.
Yeah, that's what I said. There's a general residential zone around the shopping centre. There's no residential growth zone in East Bentley.
What's the height?
But that's fair enough.
Can I ask a very quick question? Following up on the layout, what was the wisdom in coming from one zone ending in a street and then having another zone start on that side? What's the end in that? I mean, why didn't you end it at the back of the property that faces the street? Because then you've got two properties sharing the same zone equally. Now what you've got is, potentially where I live, I can walk out the front in 2 years' time and look at a four-story building.
Yeah.
Right? And actual fact, I'm in residential one, and the street behind me is enjoying their residential quiet suburb, and I'm in the same zone as them, but I'm not enjoying it because I've got to look at a four-story building in front of me.
Yeah.
8 metres away, 10 metres away. Where was the wisdom? Why didn't you stop it at the property behind the one that faces it? Why did you stop it? Where's the wisdom in that?
I honestly can't answer that because they were drawn up, and like I said 10 years ago, what we've done now is an absolute direct translation of the zones as they were before.
It's not a direct translation.
It's an absolute direct translation.
Which largely means that all the changes of the zones, all the demographic changes that have occurred have not been taken into account when they implemented the zones.
That's 10 years old data.
Listen to the people.
Okay, to start with, any plan scheme amendment needs the approval of the government. The government isn't going to let us just say, okay, the whole...
The wayside. The wayside.
I'm sceptical about that. I'm very sceptical that the minister said nowhere in Bayside should there be a residential road zone. There was an article in the Leader today that said one street, the minister took one street, put it in Kingston and took it out of a residential road zone. I don't know about that. That was, you know, the Age didn't say it was definitive. The Age said they had heard that might be the case.
No.
So I find it very hard to believe.
So,
I'd love to know how it can be that we thought, you know, how 10 years ago to get heritage overlay in Bentley on either side of Centre Road, and there are huge restrictions on one side of the road about what you can do to the house, how you can build it, and suddenly on the other side, because it's on the train line, four stories, anywhere along there. How can that be fair? It's a bit like the... like I was talking about before, have it on one side of the street, have restrictions, and the other side have none. It's just a joke.
Who do you want to ask that question of? Any councillors that will be able to answer that question.
And of course, no parking. We already have no parking because of the train.
Very impressed with the number of people that have turned out today, and certainly am sensing that there is a lot of disappointment with council's actions
over.
I suppose, by way of general comment, what I am getting the sense that people are seeking tonight is what you can do as residents to be better heard by council in relation to how you can protect your streets from increased development and inappropriate development. Now, in terms of that issue, certainly as a council, as has already been discussed, what council have done is that they've taken policies that were put in place some time back, a decade ago, and that as a council, we put a submission to the planning minister that the policies that were in place be translated into zones. And those zones, as has already been discussed, have meant that there are now height limits placed in certain areas. Now, all areas except for commercial areas. Now, in terms of what residents can do if you are wanting to advocate further, certainly as a council, as has been raised, we didn't look at consulting with the community before we put a submission to the state government. And certainly myself and Councillor Lobo, who's present as well, have raised that issue amongst our council group. And it is an issue of whether there are enough councillors willing to engage in community consultation for that to take place. Unfortunately, at the time, before a submission was put to the planning minister, the council group decided as a whole that we wouldn't consult with the community. Rather, what was done was that we made a submission to the planning minister to implement zones in accordance with the policies that were in place on the basis that consultation had occurred 2006 and also a decade before, looking at where policies should what policies there should be for the municipality. Now, after that point in time, a number of residents have raised issues about what they might be able to do to now ask the council to look at having greater protection in places where there is there are residential growth zones and where there are height limits of 3-storey and 4-storey essentially. So what some residents have asked is that they petition council, and certainly petition is happening tonight, to re-look at those zones. Now, I have certainly spoken with our council officers, and the advice that we're getting back is that it's unlikely that the protections that have been afforded to Glenara in terms of 80% or 78% being protected from more than 2-storey development, that if we were to ask for amendments to the planning scheme, that we may lose those protections. However, I have spoken to Member Bentley and in terms of what might be done, particularly in the Bentley electorate, and she pointed out that Bayside Council have asked the planning minister for amendments to their planning scheme. So certainly, I would encourage residents that have strong concerns, and I understand all of you have strong concerns about where zones allow for greater height limits to to contact your local council, as has already been said, to ask for a planning amendment. That can be done, but it is a matter of having the numbers amongst the council.
I live in East Bentley, in Laurel Street. It's one street away from the East Bentley shops. We've got Kegger Street, where they're putting up a 13 apartment complex in one little block. In my street, there's been approval for a 10 apartment complex. We've been told by the council that they want that whole block as all apartments. There's only been allowance of one visitor car park, and I don't understand where with the council on not providing any infrastructure for parking. We've been told that if there's going to be any visitor car parking, they'll have to park in the shopping centre, so then there's less room for full as it is. So what is the plan? If you're building up that area, is there any plan to have high-rise car parking to allow the residents around the area?
Who do you want to direct that question?
Me.
To the council.
Me.
To the mayor.
To the mayor.
Yeah, mayor.
Mayor, that's shit.
Give me the same spell again.
No, I haven't interrupted this week. It's been a normal day. Look, I don't know exactly where the house you're talking about. Has the permit already been issued?
The permit's been issued for both of them. In our street, we had a slight reduction of the top floor from 3 storeys down to 2. The other one still is an ongoing issue with the developers. They're fighting against the reduction. But my concern is because we're in that high residency growth, and we've been told by council when we put in our protest that they wanted the whole area as apartments, what infrastructure are you going to support that?
Look, I'm very disappointed.
Even
to
the
hear
further
that
outer Bentley.
I'm very disappointed to hear the council officers have said they want that whole block of the same, because council officers can only deal with one block at a time. It's inappropriate to say that. What I can say is that even though you live in the zone you live in, if you look at the last couple of council meetings where there has been applications for 3- and 4-storey buildings in those streets, in I think one or two cases we actually rejected the permit because as councillors we didn't feel it was appropriate for that street. We still have that option. We still have the option to reduce 4-storey to 3 because their height limits. They're not, you have to build to that. You cannot exceed that, not 1 millimetre. Before, if someone wanted to, if it was a planning scheme, we would have to assess that. Now, we don't have to assess anything outside of that zone. I'd happy to speak to you afterwards and get the exact address. If the developer is still arguing, then that sort of says to me that the permit hasn't been issued and there's still an opportunity. But I'm more than happy to talk to you afterwards.
Could I add one more thing? This is on infrastructure. With the shopkeepers and the people working in there, all those workers are parking in our streets. Once you get the apartments as well, where are the cars going?
Okay, yeah, sure. But any time there's a development, we have to look at things like, can the street accommodate the parking? As councillors, you'll very rarely see us labour visitor parking. Almost never. I suggest you have one area where, as councillors, we have done that. If you look at, and I challenge you to show it to me.
If you, Main Street.
No. When an application comes to us for a reduction in parking, as councillors in a council meeting, that is something that we very, very...
How's that lost then?
Well, maybe yours didn't come to a council meeting.
How many car parking spaces do you allocate for each apartment?
Well, the state government says...
Off-street parking, I'm talking about.
Well, it's 1 for 5.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, well, it's a one-bedroom unit, a one-bedroom. There's one, it's one car parking spot.
But everybody's got 2 or 3 cars in the family.
It's a three-bedroom, then it's 2. What? They're not councillors. No, that's state
government. And
then 2 cars per street. Off-street parking, that's correct. And a visitor parking is worked out by one bit.
I'd like to say that
no, Mary.
You
say yours first, but you wait longer.
I know of several instances where this council has agreed to waiver car parking requirements. And I'd like to ask Mr. Wood what is going to happen, because it's funny, I opposed a restaurant seating 100 people in Kunang Road. It happened to be the 36th restaurant, which asked to have 100 seats and no car parking spaces. And it's also near Carnegie Railway Station, where we have 2 gracious buildings on Morton Avenue being built in Jersey Parade. And the previous mayor, I hope this one's better, actually at council meeting, and nobody said you shouldn't say that, said the visitors can park in the railway car park, and he was a Greens candidate. What do you think of that? What is going to happen? Every car parking place that should be acknowledged is always waived in this council. What is going to happen in the end, sir?
It's not just this council, unfortunately. I remember reading a VCAT decision years ago in Fitzroy where the members, well, it was pointed out in evidence from the objectors that car parking was full. The streets were all full, there was no room anymore. So the members decided that they just have to forget about that and ignore it. Otherwise, they couldn't allow any more developments in that area.
Oh, shame.
So, again, it comes back to the community saying, look, this is not good enough and that has to change. And in terms of parking waivers, it's the same we have in Yarra. Every time a restaurant application goes in, they ask for parking waiver. And the overflow parking all goes into the adjacent residential areas. And you just have to object to it. And,
yeah, but when you object, they say you're a fool.
Yeah.
Well, you need evidence too. We organised in our area, and we did surveys of residents, cartographic surveys. We got parking restrictions put in. If you get parking restrictions for residents only, that cuts out a lot of the problem from the restaurants. And people have got to park somewhere, so they're either going to come by public transport or else the restaurants have to give proper parking.
They should move the restaurants to the parking. It'll be more easy.
I want to ask a question with regard to the... my question is a little bit different. I'm in the go zone and I have inappropriate development happening around me. I'm off McKinnon Road. Because I'm in that go zone, is that why my rates are $150 a quarter more than person two streets away from me?
Probably related to it, because rates, you have to ask the rate council.
I'd like to know from council why my rates are $2,200 for falling down weatherboard in McKinnon. Because it's the go zone, because of all the development.
Well, it's not because of the zoning. We have an independent valuation done by independent valuers every 2 years. They value every property, and we base the rates on what those properties are worth. So if you think, if your rates are higher than someone two streets away, that's because the valuer said that your land is more valuable.
Because it's in the go zone, where you're going to put up a high rise, block me out, and I'm going to pay a fortune in rates.
You're not into what the guy calls a go zone if you're in McKinnon, you're in the middle zone. You've been a general residential zone, not a residential right zone. But the other thing is if you feel your valuation is unfair, when every time we do a valuation, we send everyone what that valuation was. If you think the valuation is unfair, you can appeal that. And then our values will look at your place individually and the valuation may come down.
Can't hear you.
Is our Wood Local Government Council going to approach the state government to modify the zones? Because as a resident of Carnegie, long term, living in a house that was first given a historic overlay, nothing happened, a heritage overlay, then a village, an urban village area, nothing happened. Now I'm in the brown zone. I live in a 100-year-old house that buildings, and I use the term lightly, on the corner are not going to last 40 years. I have watched them being built. I know a little bit about building. I've gone into them and looked them over. And I think we need the council to approach the state government as a matter of respect. I'm not against development. I want to control. And I want a limit of 2 per average urban block.
Through the whole of the market. Yes.
Yeah, you can achieve this. Yes.
In a certain areas that have covered well over the amount of space that should be left on the block. But in our area, with the remaining houses, yes, they're set forward and there's plenty of area to build behind them. Ironically, we did this way before few occupancy was a thing. Boy, we had a fight with the council, then it's there, and we won. And now, bulldozing. I would like the council to approach the state government to modify the zones.
I haven't asked a question. I live in Carnegie. It is totally impossible to park there on Friday night or Saturday night. Yes. You cannot find a park anywhere. And yet there is development going on and on. Everywhere you look, there are buildings, there are trains dominating the skyline.
Who do you want to direct your question? For me?
Well, probably, yes. I suppose it's more to consider the minister for not planning, but the mayor, yes.
Well, you're obviously in one of the great zones.
Yes.
As a part of that, you must be nearby the shopping centre, are you? You want to make sure.
You didn't say that.
Are you?
It's a 15-minute walk for me.
Okay.
You said you can't drive a car there.
I can't park my car there.
Well, that's what
if I want to go to the chemist on Friday night, no way, impossible.
Look, I've no idea why your street is so popular. So
no, it's not my street, it's the Carnegie area.
And if you look at the Carnegie Shopping Centre, if you were did you say 500 metres away?
15
minutes walk. 15 minutes walk. Okay, so that's probably, what, 300-400 metres
but
away.
But where I live is not a problem.
Okay.
It's having to go to the shops at Carnegie on Friday or Saturday night, and there is nowhere to park.
The level of growth, the level of development has to equal, obviously, the off-street parking. If there's parking on the street, then you could assume that it's either visitor or people going to the shopping centre wanting to park there.
Or the 35 restaurants.
At that distance, right. Put in parking restrictions, unless we evaluate that street and then think that it is justified. You will find that every street in Glenora, closer you get to a major activity centre, a shopping centre, there is parking issues.
But why is development being allowed to proceed when the current development has overwhelmed the facilities that have been
there? Okay. As much as I hear what you're saying, that's not the information that we have. The information that we have, each development is assessed.
We'll come with me on Saturday.
I'm sure if I go there, there'll be nowhere to park.
Drive your car around the area. Then you'll find out.
Well, I'll stand in the
No, I'm in general not against development, but okay, inappropriate. And my biggest concern is the speed it's happening. Let's take the example of Ben Street, which is a main artery between McKinnon and Jasper, McKinnon and Centre Road. And I actually went down there and I counted the buildings and I counted the yellow signs, and I know beautiful Californian bungalows. So I actually came to the conclusion within 4 months, that's how long we have the new zoning, 20% of the street is already dumped. It's gone. And a lot of people want to get out there. They want to sell because they can't stand the fact of living there. The speed is shocking. And what mechanism to keep that under control? Is there anything we can do about the speed of development? The plan, what is the plan called? That big plan is called that we have to move closer together, but we don't have to move closer together within 4 months or 2 years. We have another 10 years to go. So why do we have everything has to happen in 1 year or 6 months?
I think that the zones come in at the same time, mind you, the planning minister, and I said it before, Melbourne is going through the biggest building boom since the gold rush. It is not isolated here.
But there's already proof there is too much.
That may be the case.
Yes.
But in Bend Street, you're right next to the rail line, you're next to the station. A developer who wants to build there is expecting the owners to be using the railway. Well, whether he's right or he's wrong, that's his opinion. That is zoned for that type of
development. So within 1 year, this entire street will be gone.
Mm-hmm. Council will
there'll be about 400 more people right. In the street.
That's right.
No, yeah. The congestion.
Station Avenue the same. Prince Edward Cinema. And when they are done and gone, they move further. One street after the other.
You're turning it into a ghetto.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
We're not only looking at one apartment block, we are looking at hundreds. And where are the kinder, what about kinder schools? They're all at their limit, and this is happening within such a short time. Where's the infrastructure?
Regardless of the amount of development that comes along, when we assess a block in Beacon Street, we would look at what has been approved. What is the current level of saturation for stormwater, sewerage, parking, amenity? There is a natural point where that exceeds the recommendation that is approved.
So why wasn't that brought up with the recent councillor meeting with the recent development that was approved? That didn't get brought up because there's another one that directly across the road that's got a four-storey development already approved. Exactly what you said then wasn't brought up amongst the councillors as a reason for this development that's gone on and been recently approved. That wasn't brought up about councillors. So why wasn't it an issue at the time? And what about another one that's got the yellow signs up at the moment? as you say, each one has to be assessed individually, but it was not acknowledged at all amongst the councillors at the recent hearing.
Okay. Why? Much for that.
Why?
The street that you're probably talking about, the advice is the appeal of Fogman, is it hasn't reached that level. So it hasn't treated that. It's quite simple. And look, you've got to understand that as councillors, we also live in the city of Glenora.
Not in our street. Not next to it.
I, as a resident, raised a number of issues 2 years ago as to why I can't
speak up.
The council have a planning permit extension, and the answer was no.
And you got that answer from the council?
Yes, I've got public questions that I can show you, but that's what it said. There was a discussion to ask what could be done, what was going to be done. The council was going to implement a system that would record what permits have been granted. They were extended. To date, they have yet to produce a report on that system that they were doing.
Well, I don't understand why they said that to you. No. That is all documented. You can't have a minute for planning without something documented. But
we make it at a later time after this meeting, and I can show you the information on what was said and what was voted on.
Can I answer one question? Say about the Bent Street example, if that zone means that they can build up to 3 or 4 stories right through Bent Street, so does that mean that we, just in 10 years' time, we could perceive that that entire Bent Street will consist of 3 and 4 storey homes, they'll have five units, they'll have one visitor parking for those 5 units. If you look at the ones that have already gone up there, that means effectively that is a no-go zone, every street adjacent to that. I know I won't be going down Bent Street to go to Coles anymore because of that. Every street followed on is going to get pushed until it's all built up. Now, where's the ceiling on this? Because according to those zones, every one of us can make application and develop it. So we can have 4 stories all the way from McKinnon Road to Centre Road.
You can actually apply. Anyone can apply to put any building on any block in the city of Glenora. You could apply to put a 4-story building in the centre of Caulfield Park.
But at the moment,
Jim, can I ask
you? No, when you've reached that, you don't know because what's the
number. Well, because your street, that's the saturation point. That's what it is. When it comes to your street, that's the end of it. That's when we'll see the end of it.
Now, that's really a very rude thing to say.
No, but it's accurate. A councillor bought a house next in the street next to me, and I'm starting to see them.
The next door to me will be treated the same way as any other. Yeah. I chose to live in a minimal change area, nowhere near a shopping centre or a railway station.
So did I, but
27 years ago. 27 years ago.
We all did. But somebody decided that as soon as a block of flats gets built, that causes the guy, the developer next door, there's already one, I can build what I like.
The house next door to me, I can reach over the fence and close their door. It is so close to me.
How did that get through?
It got through.
What genius put that through?
Well, that was put through before these zones came
in. I'm sorry, but I think the best thing that we could all do as citizens, I'm sorry, I'm making a statement, we should buy a house in the planning minister's street, whoever he is, and get an application for it.
I think he has to wear that. The answer here is when you're buying a property in Victoria,
we did that 10 years ago.
Yes, that's right.
Nothing's changed.
10 years ago, the plan was being the same. What we've done now is not in.
It is not. It is not the same. It is not the same because.
stop this, sir.
Yeah, this lady would like to ask a question. I live in Main Street and I own a beautiful cow bunker that you guys put through a permit to allow four-storey development. So I'm upset. I had no option but to actually sell my house to a developer. I'm really, really pissed off that you have made this decision for me. I'd like to know why you didn't notify me prior to this going through. I was notified by Tackle Developments via the post saying that tomorrow your house is deemed to be in the growth zone. I had no effing idea. I'm very, very angry. And my block, along with two others either side, have 41 units going on there. Story. The three blocks further up, 55 units, four stories. Two houses next door to them, three or four stories, 16 units each. Explain to me why you made that decision for me.
At least.
Yes, and it's in the McKinnon Hall zone.
There's another 40 across the road.
So I'd like to know. 100.
60, right?
My kids are in a classroom at 26 and will get obviously larger. They have no room. 1,850 kids at McKinnon Secondary, and you're putting 55 units in three blocks, 41 in my three blocks. Why? I'm directing it to all the councils, not only you, Jim. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I do hear and I do feel what you're saying.
My house is renovated.
I understand. And I don't want to be standing here being the council apologising for what we've done. What we have done was put, and I keep going back to it, what is happening in Bay Street could have happened 5 years ago. Could have happened 4 years ago.
I'm sorry, that's okay. Why ask the television what's happening?
Since 2002, that was allowed.
So why now? Why now?
It's not about what has been done, it's about what will you do.
I have quite this question on the saturation point. We've just heard the phrase talk about over 100. Do you know Main Street?
Over 100. That doesn't include the one across the road.
I think the council has to do something if you wanted to alter the provision of 85 years worth of housing.
I still like the mayor to talk about a saturation point if this way is gone.
And I would really like to tell you, I'm not an engineer. I don't know when the stormwater is full. I don't know when the parking is at its maximum. I don't know.
You're a representative. What's the maximum level that you're going to put McKinnon High School to then?
What's the maximum level of children?
Yeah. You said it's about doubled. It's 1,000 over what it should be. So what is the maximum?
Well, it's not my decision, but I will tell you.
Okay.
The state government does not allow McKinnon Secondary College to say no to any student
that lives in McKinnon. You've got 100.
If it goes to 5,000, we will have 5,000. We have nowhere to put them.
That's
but
right.
We will have them.
So
I think that's an abrogation of council possibility to take that line. I would remind the council as well, and it's not representing you. It's the staff. and you advise them the other, the council will ought to be telling the staff you need to change the policies. We have,
yes.
To, we have to lobby the government to accept something different.
The government representative has left already, though.
Yeah, we noticed that.
He changes his mind anyway with the weather.
The so-called neutral translation, which was promoted heavily at the time, is not quite as it seems. I know one area, for example, the Alma Club, which was in the residential one minimal change area, is now a general residential zone, so they can fill it full of apartments right in the middle of low-rise suburban area. There were also discussions with the state government. Sorry? I don't live here. I only know what I'm told.
Can I just say that is the only example that was done by the government when they bought in the zones without us knowing. And the previous zones, because it was such a large block, even though it's a minimal change area, it could have been a multi-unit development there anyway. So it doesn't really change anything. And every single other residential zone in Lenara, no one can build anything under the new zones that they couldn't have built before. But there's a lot of stuff they couldn't have built before that they can't build now.
How come the council, in discussions with the government, was happy to that there was a general agreement of the way around the two dwellings per each neighbourhood residential lot? That limit could be got around by doing the subdivisions first. It was described as a get around. In other words, you want to get three or four on it, do the subdivision first. And as you know, councils have discretion as to how, whether they can allow a subdivision or not. It's up to them to decide whether what is planned without an actual planning permit, what's suggested might go there, would be acceptable or not.
There are a number of blocks with over like 2,000 square metres in minimal change areas or in labelled the residential homes now.
So tell people what's actually going on. Don't just say it's a complete blanket transfer, a neutral transfer.
It is, because under the old minimal change area policy, so blocks that big were accepted. So you could build bigger than just what you could build on a normal suburban block in there anyway. So it is a direct transfer. You call it a get around, but it actually restores those big blocks to the way they were before. That's all it does.
That's right.
The other thing about all this is that, as I said, the provision of these new zones, council actually advised the government that it's going to give 87 years of housing supply. And that doesn't include the commercial zone. If you include that, the residential component there, you're up to 105 years of supply. That strikes me as a bit extreme when, as you've all pointed out, we can't even cope with the infrastructure with the growth we've got at the moment.
I acknowledge that we have the problems to growing population.
I'd like to ask Councillor Rockettel a question, please, if that's all right. First of all, I acknowledge that you have come out publicly, and so has Councillor Lobo, in saying that you were arguing very strongly for consultation prior to any so-called submission going into the Governor, Minister for Planning. So that's fine. But I think from the feeling here, obviously, this is something that should have happened right at the beginning. As a lot of people here have said, they had to find out from real estate agents how their houses were zoned and what was likely to happen in the future. That should never, ever, ever have happened when the logo of Glenira is to consult and listen to community views. Community views, as far as I can see, have been totally ignored. As also another somebody else said. So the other thing that you said previously, Councillor Rockettel, was that we as residents should start agitating. I'd like to put the onus on councillors, whether it's individual councillors or council as a group. It is not our job to do the agitating. You have heard what most people have had to say. It is your job to get off your backside and actually agitate. Now, let me be is a commitment to these people here now that you will go back and you will tell the officers that councillors are prepared to move an amendment, as the petition says, that to renegotiate, reassess, reevaluate with up-to-date current data, not based on what's going to happen 85 years down the track, but what's likely to happen in the next decade, as countless other councils have done in their submissions, that you want this council to put in possible amendments to the current zones that preserves the full environmental, social and all kinds of parking amenities for residents of Glen Ira. Will you give that commitment?
We have looked at what might council be prepared to do, certainly requested of officers to provide information about if council were to put a proposal for an amendment to the planning minister, what might the consequences be. The information that we've received back from council officers is that the protections that we currently have, being that 78% of the municipality is protected to have no more than two-storey development, that we could potentially lose those protections. So we could potentially go backwards.
Glen Ira, that sounds like
blackmail.
Well, the minister's blackmailing.
Well, there might be a new minister.
Sure. And that's why I did ask that residents agitate on this issue, because as councillors, and I'm sure Councillor Lever would agree, we can only
take our councillors
and get as much support from other councillors as we can. But certainly, when residents contact us, and I can certainly testify that this is the case, when residents contact us and let us know that this is an important issue to us, that is something that councillors take on board. And councillors certainly listen to residents more than they do other councillors. So that is why I certainly ask that you do contact councillors to let them know your views. The more we hear from you, the more it's likely that more councillors take action.
Take this as contact.
This is the only consultation that has been undertaken on the zones, and it has been put together by the residents.
Exactly.
You
so we need to hear
from you. Could we hear from
you're hearing from us.
Why do we have to do it?
You need to listen.
Certainly. And not just me, though, there are 9 councillors, so you need to contact all of the councillors, and I encourage you to do that.
Can we get them to come here one night and actually, you know, have another meeting?
Oh, we can have the theatreette.
We vote you guys in. You've got 2 years to do something about it. We'll be voting in again. There's people losing hundreds of thousands of dollars in property going down the chute.
Where the
22%
that are affected by
it? The motion works. Okay, people are hurting. You know, do something. You've got 2 years.
Okay, I have a question now. Seeing your application on the 21% that isn't protected, the 78% that is protected. I have a question how appropriate those locations are. The 22% that is identified for increased density, up to 3-5-storey developments. I would, as a planner myself, I would question whether all of those zones are in appropriate locations when you look at planning from a holistic perspective. Looks as though in some areas, the areas where you would perceive that you would get least resistance have been selected over those more appropriate. When I say more appropriate, I look at the infrastructure, the transport, as well as the social infrastructure in those areas. Can any of the councillors respond to that? Why these areas? Why not other areas which have better transport and social infrastructure?
The areas that are the growth zones are the areas that are in the what we would call the diversity areas, the villages, the shopping centres, the railway stations, the major activity centres.
Okay,
that has been the same for many that's been the same for many years.
Those activity centres are manufactured.
Sure.
Have you looked at the Rob Adams modelling from, I think it's about 2010?
but he actually identified that you could have four-storey developments along transport corridors.
Yeah.
And that would be on the transport corridor. We're not going 800 metres back, we're not going a kilometre back from that transport corridor. Why has Glen Ira identified NASA's as even areas a kilometre from a train station? And as transport planner, you know that people are reluctant to walk more than 800 metres to get to a destination. We have areas that have been identified with this increased density that are beyond 800 metres from a train station. And as I said before, we have a radial rail network. We don't have a bus network. Okay. So you're fostering car dependence with the areas that you've identified in much, oh, South and North Road anyway. Okay. Those are not appropriate. When you say we've got a good deal, it's a load of rubbish.
When you were looking at what the options were opening up the whole planning sphere. Well, that wasn't going to happen. The areas that we're still talking about have been in place for many, many years, long before us as councils come together. What we have simply
done. Did you
have
the opportunity to change that? It's a question that you can
hear. Your time.
Challenge the council officers. Don't be submissive to the CEO. Don't be submissive to the directors. Question them. Okay, don't take their word as gospel. They're not necessarily the experts in the field. Don't take expert reports as gospel either.
They might be lazy.
That's it.
That's the bottom line.
I
get paid to go with the flow.
The information we take as a council group is not just from council. It comes from a variety of places. It comes from state government. It comes from the planning authorities. It comes from council. It comes from what we see in other municipalities. We put together, as human beings, the best thing that we can for our city. Is it right or wrong? We have what we have. We will do our best to make sure everyone that lives here is as happy as I am. Well, it's not. And look, you can also say that I could have stayed home. I didn't have to come here.
Life and
yes,
because
you
have
My name is Cheryl Forge. I was a member of a councillor before the last election. In regard to the submission by the council of the residential zones, we were having dinner. The councils have dinner with the directors usually once a week. Towards the end of dinner, the director of city development said to me, we've just submitted Glen Ira's proposals for the new zones. And I said to him, we know nothing about this. It didn't run past the councillors, and it didn't run past the public. No public consultation. And I said, well, what did you submit? He said, well, really not much change at all, just tinkered around the edges, more or less, of what it already was. There was no suggestion. So I think the lesson is that the directors need to be told that important decisions like this should go before public consultation. And very much importantly, the councillors who had access to the public. And it was just completely glossed over.
Excuse me, I did make a mistake before Chandra wanted to make a comment before when we were talking about saturation. And everything got heated, and I'm giving him the opportunity I should have given him.
Thank you, Betty. The one thing I would like to start is, we all blame politicians a lot here. And I think